the Monday Tainus Esther, just as I was about to go into Purim, actually davening Mincha, and I was sitting there during Kriyas HaTorah and had a very interesting thought about the whole confluence of different things that were going on at the same time. Like so many different things just sort of fit together. You just have a critical mass of these weird things. Oh, what is this all supposed to mean? So first of all, right before Mincha, give the Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel, you know, the three gold shekel coins over and over and over again, right? Three of them together because I'm giving from myself and my wife and everybody in the family. Machzis HaShekel, Machzis HaShekel, Machzis HaShekel. Then you have Ashrei. You're sitting there. You're at Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is part of Parshas Kisisa, which is the part that we're learning is Vayichal, which is all about Kapara, not just the Kapara going into Purim, but really Kapara for always. We do things, we need Kapara, and that's what Vayichal is all about. But what was interesting to me was it's Parshas Kisisa, and if you're being Maver Sedra, and you're going through Sheni, so the beginning of Parshas Kisisa is the Parsha of Machzis HaShekel. So on one hand, you have Tainus Esther, where you're giving the Machzis HaShekel, you're laning about the Machzis HaShekel, and you're laning about Kapara. About to go into Purim, and what's Purim all about? Also, the rags to riches story of Klal Yisrael, that because of the Sudas HaShverish, so we're in pretty hot soup. Looked like we were about to be wiped out, Chas V'Shalom. But because of Mordechai and because of Lech Knoises Kol HaYehudim and all of the tshuva and the 3 days of Tainus, so there's Kapara. So there's Kapara during Tainus Esther, there's Kapara Kriyas HaTorah, there's Kapara on Purim, and Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel actually also has a lot to do with Purim. There are two Gemaras that have to do with Shkolim, that have to do with Purim. And all of this is just sort of, you know, in my mind as I'm fasting, and wondering just, you know, what does this all have to do with each other? So that's a sugya I would like to talk about a little bit today. Putting together all of these different things, the idea of Kapara together with Purim, together with Machzis HaShekel, together with Matbeis we've been learning about a little bit in Second Seder, and Lemaisa, I think that from all of this, we'll get to a deeper understanding of Purim and the Parsha of the Week of the Machzis HaShekel, and also, hopefully, a point of inspiration that we could take with us for the next week or so that we have left until the end of the Zman. Let's start off, what does the Machzis HaShekel have to do with Purim? So, we always announce the Shkolim or Rosh Chodesh Adar, but there's a good reason for it. The Gemara in Megillah, guys, probably many of you learned this Gemara and went through Megillah, but the Gemara says on Dav Yud Gimel Amid Beis like this, Amresh Lakish, Goli v'yadua lifnei Misha Amar v'haya Olam. It was revealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'asid Haman Lishkol Shkolim al Yisrael, that Haman was going to give Shkolim to pay off Achashverosh to buy the rights to destroy Klal Yisrael. Lefikach hiktim shikleim l'shkolav. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained that we should give a shekel before Haman would give his shekel. Behind the Tznan, and that's why we learned in the Mishnah, Be'echod ba'ador mashmiyam al ha-shkolim v'al kelayim, that we have to announce the Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why? Because that's the salvation. The salvation against Haman comes because of the Machzis HaShekel. Something really spooky. Tosfos, a couple blot later, on Daf Tezayin Amid Aleph says, that Shamati, he says, I heard. You know, who did Tosfos hear it from? He heard it from Chazal, or he heard it from Eliyahu HaNavi. It's not clear over there, but he says, Shamati sha'asara alfei kikar kesef oilim chatzi shekel l'kol echad miYisrael sh'ayu sheish me'eselef. If you put together all of the numbers, what Haman gave was exactly the amount of money that the Machzis HaShekel was for 600,000 Jews. Kishiyatzu mimitzrayim. The Omar and Haman said, Sheitein la'achashverish, I'm going to give it to Achashverish, kol pidyoinam. I'm going to give all the pidyon, and that way I'll be able to destroy Klal Yisrael. All of which sort of makes the whole thing unclear. Why? Because number one, what does that mean? Okay, very nice. So Haman gave a bunch of shkolim. So because we gave shkolim before, so therefore we're going to have a Yeshua. What does that mean? You need our shkolim from before to undo Haman's shkolim. Plus, you take a look at the Tosfos, it would seem to be the opposite. What Tosfos says clearly over here was that Haman's plan was, listen, they gave this Machzis HaShekel, I'll beat them at their own game. This is what it cost, 600,000. Now I'm going to go ahead and pay that amount of money to do a pidyon on that. So now I'll be able to take them, and they won't have a protection anymore. So how come our Machzis HaShekel was better? He tilted the balance. What's Machzis HaShekel have to do with the Yeshua of Purim? And why is it that the Machzis HaShekel is so important in overcoming Haman? That's point number one. The other time that you have, this is a medrash, and we really saw it in Taisus by us when we're talking about Matbeis. Matbeis shall Avraham Avinu, Matbeis of Yerushalayim. So Taisus over there, if you remember, on Sai Zayim and Beis on the bottom, quoted a medrash. The Medrash says over there, I'll read it to you, Reb Rachia b'shem Reb Chal v'yemer, Shiyotza meinitin shaloi ba'olam. Avram Avinu's coin went into the whole world. It wasn't just locally. Avram Avinu spread around his coinage to the entire world. In other words, he wanted to be mefarsem, the greatness of what he was bringing to the world. Okay. Says the Medrash, Arba heim shiyatza lehem meinitin ba'olam. There were four people, really four Jews, who put out a coin and spread it to the entire civilized world. Avram brings a pasuk. Avram Avinu, who was, you know, the of Ha'avis, right? He was the one who, quote-unquote, you know, invented Judaism. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the consciousness of all of mankind. So he put out a coin to be mefarsem what he was all about. Mahu Munitin Shalai, what was his coin? Zaken Uzkeno Mikan, an old man and an old lady on one side. Bachuru Besula Mikan, a young man and a young lady on the other side. The stark contrast. An old, used up, weak, schwach, old man, no hope, no future. And on the other side, Bachuru Besula. That's the coin of Avraham Avinu. We go further. The second person, Yehoshua. Yehoshua was basically the one who brought Avraham Avinu's bris and his dream to culmination. Avraham Avinu was told that they're going to go to Mitzrayim, and then they're going to go out, and they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael and take over the land. And Yehoshua also put out a coin. What was on Yehoshua's coin? Mahu? Shor Mikan. They call it, you know, the ultimate work animal. You know, it's just works like an ox. Yeah? Ura'im Mikan. There's some kind of mythical creature, this like massive, majestic animal. But it's also stark contrast. This work animal to the Ra'im riding on the Ra'im, the big, massive Ra'im, you know, and that's Yehoshua. Next is David. David is Malchus. Not just we're in Eretz Yisrael, Shirim al-Admasam, but David HaMelech has the idea to build Beis HaMikdash, but really he brings Malchus into the world. And he spreads the coin of David HaMelech all over the world. What's on David HaMelech's coin? Mayu Minitin Shalai. Makil V'Tarmil Mikan. You know, shepherd's tools, shepherd's staff, shepherd's pouch, yeah, on one side. Umigdal, and a big tower, you know, represents the majesty of David HaMelech. And the tower of David HaMelech, the power of David HaMelech on the other side. The last one, and this is what's nogea to us, is who's the last one? Mordechai. Mordechai, not a king. Mordechai is not the culmination of any dream. He's not Yeshua, who's the leader of Avraham Avinu, who was also a melech. Yeah, David is of course a melech, but Mordechai was the Mishnah melech of the palace of Achashverosh, and Mordechai is basically the leader who teaches us how we're supposed to be in Golos. And therefore, he also spread Mainitin, he also spread a coin to the whole world. Says the Pasuk, Ki Godol Mordechai v'beis ha-melech, v'shimoy ho'ilech b'chol ha-medinais. Yeah, how do people hear about Mordechai? Because he issued a coin. Yatzalo monitin, ma monitin shaloi, sak ve'efer mikan, va'ateres zahav mikan. Sackcloth, ashes, and on the other hand, ateres zahav, wearing a big crown. So these are the four coins that were issued. The question over here is interesting. I understand very well why the coin of David HaMelech has to have a migdal, or Mordechai ateres zahav, or Yehoshua re'em, Avram Avinu bachor besula, be that Yitzchak, be that his rejuvenation. But it's interesting, every single one of these coins is ke'ilu like a v'nahapochu. You have rags to riches. You have, it starts off bleak. It starts off, they're old, they're has-been, they can't have children anymore. All of a sudden, bachor v'besula, sak v'efer. Starts off, ashar is a re'im. David HaMelech, look where he came from. Shepherd boy. He's not going to be the king all of a sudden. It's, you know, a dynasty. Migdal. Why is that important? That when you have a coin, the coin of the Jewish people, the coin is not only the end, that this is what we're all about, that this is our victory, this is what we turned into, but adarabba, that this is where we started from. That there is no hope. So there are two questions. Question number one, what does the Machzis HaShekel have to do with Purim? Why is the Machzis HaShekel really the key to the Yeshua? And number two, why is it that on all of our coins, all of these special coins, it's rags to riches, v'nahapechu, flipping it over, going the other way, and putting this together, what we said in the beginning, what does this have to do with the kapara that we got on Purim, that it wipes out everything, gives us a fresh slate, and maybe most important, what is all this supposed to mean to us? I always say at this point of the year, I think I alluded to it already last week, but my opinion, I was thinking about it, you know, last week of summer, last week of the Wintersman. I think I came to the conclusion, just the last week of the Wintersman, I think for sure, is the hardest week of the entire year. It's the hardest week of the entire year. Even harder than in the summer. Why? It's a very simple thing. The winter's man is the longest man. You really start in El, you know, you get a little bit of a break for Yom Tovim and everything. And then you have this long winter's man where it's, you know, it's not so nice outside or whatever it is. You're more or less in the building and there's no let up. And basically your growth for the entire year is really, really, you know, sowed, it's really planted, and it's developed during this winter's man. And if you look at yourself through this winter's months, it's just like every week, you know, we're gradually getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and, you know, it's building. And all of a sudden, after Purim, you know, everybody has a good time and everybody walks in the next day, which is today, you know, looking a little bleary-eyed. And then you have this week where naturally you feel as like, okay, fine, it's time to start winding down. Now, what happens when you build something very, very, very big, and it's not something like it's built out of concrete? It's sort of like built out of energy, you know? And you have all this tremendous energy there. And slowly, it's like putting a slight prick, you know, in, I wouldn't say a balloon, because then that just goes, but it's a slowly deflating balloon. There's nothing more depressing than a slowly deflating balloon. I always give it another. I said that, what's it called? You know, they say there's no such a thing as a vacuum in Hashem's world. You know, if if there's not going to be if there's not going to be mayim in the boris, there's always nechashim v'akravim in there. Same thing is true with kedusha and tumah. You have a zman where a person builds himself and builds the base medrash, and the place is so filled with kedusha after 6 months. All of a sudden, things start tapering off, and there's a palpable sense of that, like, oi, something horrible is going on over here. You know, all that beautiful kedusha that we brought into our lives, it's turning around, and then you sort of feel the opposite. At least for me, it's palpable that week. So what are you going to do? Just sit here and let me depress you? I really don't have any intention to do that. The answer is that it doesn't have to happen. And why? Because the reason that it does happen is because after 6 months of working hard, and after a Purim, and everybody looking at their airplane tickets, which is, you know, in a week, 10 days, whatever it's going to be, naturally, a person feels, okay, it's time to coast. One person already told me, I'm here till I get on the plane. I'm biting the bullet. I am here till I get on the plane. I'm putting in every Seder. Why? Because that's a statement that I know it's natural to start to coast. But if I start to coast, so I'm dead. I'm dead. Not just that it's not going to be as good as it could be, but that feeling, that sinking feeling, that sinking bad taste is going to come in. And the only way to deal with that is to realize that we don't have to be natural. We have the ability to rise above. If we're just natural and we do what we feel like doing, we do what's easy to do, never ever get something done. And without that, with that feeling of just being natural, and without the ability to rise above, there is no such a thing as Klal Yisrael. Because that's what Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael is the people who really should not be here. We don't deserve to exist. We come from a Zakein and Zkena. But miraculously, that Zakein and Zkena became a Bachar and a Besula. Yitzchak is not even in the stars. We don't deserve to be here. Naturally, we're not supposed to be here. But we can rise above. And that's the secret to every Yeshua. And that really is what the Machzis HaShekel is all about. The Or Chaim says, Or Chaim HaKadosh says an unbelievable thing on this week's parasha. Pasuk says, Ze Yitnu. This is what you got to give. Ze Yitnu. This coin. The Yerushalmi says that just like by the Menorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Menorah Shel Eish, because Moshe Rabbeinu had no clue what the thing is supposed to look like, he showed him Machzis HaShekel, Ze Yitnu, give it like this. The famous question is, we understand by the Menorah why you got to do that, because the Menorah was very, very complex. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure it out. But for crying out loud, what do you need Ze Yitnu about a coin? Why do you need to show him a special coin made out of Eish? Says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a matbea shel eish, not because he had a difficult time perceiving what the coin was supposed to be. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing him that the Machzis HaShekel is not a coin. The Mahus of the Machzis HaShekel is not really a coin. A coin is natural currency. Money is the most natural thing in the world. You have it, you're in good shape. You don't have it, you're not in such good shape. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that for Klal Yisrael, the real currency is not the currency of the shekel of money. The currency is something else which we call Zeh. Lo yomush ha-Torah ha-Zeh mi-picha. Our real currency is Torah. Our real currency is mitzvahs. Our real currency is the ability to rise above this world. And that's why the Machzis HaShekel is a Asher lo yarveh v'adah lo yamit. You're going to tell me economically, right? Does it make any sense that a rich guy and a poor guy gives exactly the same Machzis HaShekel when you're talking about currency? Absolutely not. If I'm a millionaire, let me give what's magia to me. If you're a poor person, you should give what's magia to you. But that's not what we're talking about. The matbea is a matbea shel esh. We're talking about ruchnias. We're talking about rising above the mundane of what's natural and what's economically sensible. For Klal Yisrael to operate, so we have to rise above. We have to rise above the mundane, and that's what the Machzis HaShekel is. And the Gemara says, "Hizaru mibnei aniyim shemehem teitzei Torah." You don't look at You don't look at who the privileged characters are. When we're talking about Torah, when we're talking about mitzvahs, so it doesn't matter where you came from. At the end of the day, it's whether you have that ability to rise above. With this being said, so we can begin to understand our questions. Why is it that all of the matbeas of Klal Yisrael have on one hand a sak ve'efer, a teres zohav, makle v'tarmilai, and then a migdal, bachur b'sula, zaken and skena? It's basically to show that we're operating on a different level. In the ordinary world, how often is it that a shepherd becomes the king? In order to become the king, in order to become the president of the United States, you have to get a good education, you got to go to Harvard University or Yale or Princeton or something like that. And then, you know, you work very, very, very hard and you get there. Why? Because there's a logical progression. It's natural. Like Klal Yisrael, it's not like that. Like Klal Yisrael, it can be sak ve'efer one day, and then there's a flip around. The flip around says is that immediately, atar zahav. Why? Because we're dealing with a different scale. And that's why Machzis HaShekel is, that's why the Machzis HaShekel is the Yeshua. Because Haman comes in with his money. Haman comes in with all of his plans, and he says to Achashverosh, these people are not worth it to keep around. I'll give you enough money that it's worth it for you. They're not contributing to the kingdom at all. And he's a pigeon. The thing is, you're not dealing with a normal group of people. You're dealing with a people whose currency is not in terms of money. It's not in terms of the mundane. It's not in terms of the natural. You're dealing with a people who are people whose currency is Avodas Hashem, Torah mitzvahs, and we have that ability. We have the ability to rise above. The Gaon and the Arizal both say that when there are 12 months of the year, and they break it down that there are 12 basic faculties a human being has. One of those faculties, which if you think about it, is true. Only a human being has a sense of humor. Just like we're medabrim, only we can speak. You can't... Monkey doesn't have a sense of humor. They can do funny things, but a sense of humor to laugh at something because it's absurd, because it doesn't make sense? Only a human being. The Gaon and the Arizal say the month that correlates to spike, the month that correlates to laughter, to simcha, you can tell it to me for me, right? It's Adar. Adar is spike. Laughter, if you think about it, always comes from a stark contrast of two things that don't really belong together. You have the big chush of a guy who slips on a banana peel and falls down and, you know, breaks his head or whatever it is. It's not even nice, but everybody is going to laugh about it, right? Well, what are you laughing about? It's not happy, it's sad. It's somebody in my family. People in my family are notorious for, like, you know, laughing when a guy gets hurt or something. So he had one uncle who was walking through. He parked his car in one of those, underground parking lots. He's walking out, and you have that bar that comes down for the... And he walks through, and the thing, boom, on his head. He falls down, you know, knocks off his hat and his yarmulke, and his wife starts laughing hysterically. He's all upset, and he picks up his hat. What are you laughing for? Boom, it hits him again, you know? So what are we laughing about? The reason we laugh is because it doesn't make sense. There's something that's absurd about it. There's something that's not supposed to happen. And sometimes even if it's mean, even if it's not so happy, it's still, we just laugh. Anytime a person laughs, he's taking the mundane, he's taking what's on the ground, And he's just, I can't deal with it the way that it is. It's just, and just burst out in laughing. It's just, it's too crazy to deal with. It's a form of an expression of what we're talking about. There's the mundane, there's the facts on the ground. There's the economy, there's the shekel. There's the fact that the guy who grew up as a shepherd, he's never going to be president of the United States. The zaken and the zakena, forget it, it's hopeless. But on the other hand, if we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do, so we have the ability to laugh at it. We have the ability to rise above it. We have the ability to say that it's not nogea to us, because we live our life on a different plane. And even when things get very, very hard, and when things are natural, to just, you know, let loose and let it go, we have that ability to say, listen, that's, you know, that's for the bums, but that's not for us. We have the ability to rise above, and we have the ability to laugh at all of those things. And I think that that's a, what's it called? That's a chizuk to take until last week, week and a bit, going into end of the Zman, to realize that, you know, even when you feel like coasting, laugh at yourself. Laugh at how stupid that is. What's the point? What's the point of coasting? So that, you know, I'll feel miserable for another 5 days until I get on the airplane, and then I'll start to feel free. Why bother? Enjoy yourself for the last 10 days. But the only way that you really enjoy yourself for the last 10 days is by rising above that which is natural. And laughing at the silliness of not doing that. That's basically what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. We look at the whole mundane existence that we have. Just, you know, letting nature take its course. And we realize that we're Klal Yisrael. Our shekel is not money. Our shekel is Eish. Our shekel is Torah. Our shekel is fire. Our shekel is mitzvahs. And we can rise above all of these little petty things that people are normal and natural and there to get us down. And we do that, so then there's nothing that can stop us. Everybody should have a good Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem on Sunday, so we begin the charge until the end, till the very last Seder, till you get onto the plane. Of course, you got to take care of things, but your head's got to be in the Gemara, and then you get onto the plane with a big smile on your mouth, rather than just feeling like, okay, fine, you know, whatever it is. I petered it out till the end. Never. Never. Bezoshim. Okay.